Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome you to the State Administration and Technology Appropriations Subcommittee. Amara, please call the roll.
Chair Stevenson?
Here.
Vice Chair Maggard?
Here.
Ranking Member Goff-Marcil?
Here.
Representatives Barrero?
Here.
Duggan?
Here.
Fisher?
Here.
DeLombardo?
Here.
Henson?
Here.
Hunchowski?
Here.
Killebrew? Coster?
Here.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Robinson is excused. Toledo?
Here.
Woodson?
Yeah.
A quorum is present, Madam Chair.
A quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the State Administrative and Technology Appropriations Subcommittee. I kindly ask everyone to follow the COVID protocols and keep your mask on. House policies require all individuals making presentations to the committee to keep their mask on throughout the presentation. Also, please be sure that your cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or are on silent mode. I'm going to double check mine right now. That's it. And I want to welcome you all. We're really thrilled. There's a lot of people here who have traveled a long distance to have their say on bills that we have today. To make sure everybody has a chance to speak, we're going to limit public comment to 1 minute. And so that the members have ample time to debate as well. But we want to welcome you and we appreciate your travel and your being here to speak on the bills. We're going to begin with House Bill 195, Fiscal Accountability for Non-Government Entities by the Government Operations Subcommittee. Representative Malika, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, members. It's a pleasure to be before you on House Bill 195. I know you have a packed agenda and many people here, so I will be brief in my opening and happy to answer any additional questions. This bill arose because, as you may be aware, there are many non-governmental entities that receive the majority of their budgets from public funds and use those funds to perform functions on behalf of the government. Most of these entities serve the public faithfully and are trusted members of our community and valuable government partners. However, some of these non-governmental entities pay their executives excessive salaries, award their employees overly generous benefits, and engage in wasteful spending, all at the expense of taxpayers. This bill seeks to bring much-needed accountability and transparency measures to these entities to assure the public that their tax dollars are being spent appropriately. The bill has four parts. The first part addresses agency agreements and ensures every state or every agency agreement regarding state and federal funds includes additional provisions to ensure that funds are spent appropriately. The next part of the bill provides for greater accountability by requiring certain entities to submit to certain audits based on the amount of funds received and the length of time over which they are received. The third part of the bill addresses and provides for greater transparency by making the salaries of the executives of certain nonprofit corporations publicly accessible on the Florida Has a Right to Know website. And lastly, the fourth part of the bill provides additional accountability and measurements by prohibiting a nonprofit corporation whose budget is 50% or more funded by public funds from spending more than 15% of those state appropriated funds on administrative expenses. Members, that is the bill.
Thank you. Are there amendments? No amendments. Questions? Any questions? Seeing none. Oh, Representative Henson, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Chair. It does appear that the bill has taken on a different change. I think I questioned you before about being able to prevent certain things from happening that has happened in the past. When I read the amendments, it appears as though those things have been taken care of. Thank you so much for that. And that's not necessarily a question, but I wanted to ask that. Thank you.
Thank you. I see no other questions. We'll go on to public testimony. First, I have Hunter Keith. You're recognized.
Good
Right. It says 195. This says 195. This says 195. Okay. Scott Mazur? William Crystal? Justin Thames, I know you're here to speak on this bill. Do you have anyone else that you know is with you to speak on this bill today? Just you. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I represent the Florida Institute of CPAs, and a large number of our members work in the not-for-profit space. And first, let me just say that our members are supportive of the intent of the bill. And many times, the government works with the private sector, like our members, to accomplish these goals that are in transparency and accountability. So we come more as a partner to make sure that the goals and objectives of the legislature are achieved in these types of engagements. And so what we've talked about with the bill sponsor, Representative Persons Malika, is a couple of things that we've identified that we could use some clarity on as we work with our members to make sure that these goals and objectives are met. For instance, more of timing of when these engagements take place and when those are triggered under the bill. Also, the reporting deadline is something that we're trying to work through with the representative, because not-for-profit year ends can vary, so not everybody has a June 30. We have recognized that maybe adding some additional specificity for the operational and performance audits could achieve better objectives in the long run, because those definitions under 11.45 are so broad in their intent that you might not get the results that you intend in those types of engagements. So a lot of it is kind of technical input and things that we want to try to help ensure the legislature achieves the goals and objectives that they want with these types of oversight bills. And ma'am, those are really the main issues that we're working on right now. So I'm happy to answer any questions along those lines.
Any questions? I have one. I believe you expressed a concern to me about the eligible people, the list that would be distributed to the not-for-profits and the eligible list of people who could
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that question. So in the bill, specifically to the performance audits, we do have some concern about the process in which that these entities that would do those engagements would be selected, or the qualifications that would be required. While this is not specific to CPA firms, I just want to be clear for that. There are a whole host of other entities that could potentially do these types of engagements under the Yellow Book standards, which would be applied in this instance. What we don't want to see happen is that, and I think a lot of the legislature would agree with me, you don't want to see the competition to be limited based on some government list or some type of process. For instance, the five-year applicability, that didn't make a whole lot of sense to us, because it seems more of an arbitrary number to determine qualifications when that doesn't guarantee you get quality. So somebody could have 5 years of experience, but that doesn't mean the quality of work is there. And then also the guidelines of how someone would be chosen, it's not clear what qualifications would be administered to determine whether an entity was qualified. So it's things like that that does give us some pause, but we have full faith in the representative to help us kind of work through those and give us the kind of background and feedback that we can kind of understand what that process is going to look like. Because right now, a similar process is in statute, and there's no kind of direction on the state's website or anything for that. So.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I don't see any further questions.
Thank you, ma'am.
Members, that ending questions, is there any debate on this bill? Seeing none, Representative Malika. Before we go to that, I just want to say I think this is a great intent. I think you've found something that needs additional work, and I applaud your efforts. And I know that you're continuing to work on it with staff, with the staff. Representative Amara, would you please call the roll?
Chair Stevenson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Magrid?
Yes.
Ranking Member Goff-Marcil?
Yes.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fisher? DiLombardo?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Hunchovsky?
Yes.
Killebrew? Coster?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Toledo? Woodson?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, we'll find House Bill 195 reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Malika.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members.
Next, we have House Bill 573, Fiduciary Duty of Care for Appointed Public Officials and Executive Officers. You're welcome, Representative Beltran, to present your bill.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair. HB 573 imposes a fiduciary duty of care on appointed public officers and executive officers and requires training on that duty. That is the bill.
We have no amendments. Members, are there questions? Questions on the bill? Seeing none, is there public testimony? Seeing none, we'll move right into debate. Wow, looks like no debate. Representative Beltran, you are recognized to close on House Bill 535.
We've closed, Chair.
Amara, please call the roll on the bill.
Okay. Vice Chair Magrid?
Yes.
Ranking Member Goff-Marcil?
Yes.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fisher? DiLombardo?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Hunchovsky?
Yes.
Killebrew? Coster?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Toledo? Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Stevenson?
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Next, thank you. Thank you, Representative Beltran. Congratulations. Next up, we have House Bill 585. Representative DeSegley? Oh, there you are. You're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. House Bill 585, Payment for Construction Services. The bill increases the interest rate from 1% per month to 1.5% per month for untimely payments for construction services by the state or local governments. The bill provides that a party who receives payment from the state, any local government, or public authority for a public works construction project that knowingly and intentionally fails to pay the undisputed contract obligations to another party commits misapplication of construction funds. The bill clarifies that the Construction Industry Licensing Board may discipline a contractor for committing misapplication of construction funds. And finally, the bill requires the Construction Industry Licensing Board suspend the contractor's license for a minimum of 1 year if the Construction Industry Licensing Board determines the contractor committed misapplication of construction funds. And very briefly, I want to point out that as far as the fiscal impact, the only fiscal impact to state and local governments would be if they did not pay in a timely fashion. Madam Chair, that is the bill.
Representative DeSegley, having presented his bill, we have no amendments. Are there any questions, members? Questions for Representative DeSegley? I see none. We have no public testimony. Members, we're ready for debate. Is there debate on this bill? My, it's a quiet group. Okay. All right. Representative DeSegley, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Amara, will you please call the roll on House Bill 585?
Vice Chair Magrid?
Yes.
Ranking Member Goff-Marcil?
Yes.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fisher? Dillombardo?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Ontofsky?
Yes.
Killebrew? Coster?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Stevenson?
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Very good. Members, by your vote, we'll show Representative Segley's bill, House Bill 585, referred favorably. Thank you.
Thank
Congratulations.
You, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members.
Next, we will have House Bill 1089. Do we have Representative Andrade here? Okay. Okay, we'll go on to CS for House Bill 1297. Representative G. Lombardo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee. HB 1279, so in the last couple of months, this is a cybersecurity bill. The last couple of months, we've seen some big breaches against against government entities. One is a utility I think it's Pinellas, and one recent one that just happened in Broward County Schools, which the hackers asked for $40 million in a ransomware attack. So this cybersecurity bill is gonna help protect our digital infrastructure. This bill enhances our cybersecurity of our state agency information technology. The bill designates the Florida Digital Service as the lead entity responsible for assessing state agency cybersecurity risks and determining appropriate security measures. It also directs the Florida Digital Service to operate and maintain Cybersecurity Operations Center to serve as the clearinghouse for threat information and support responses in cybersecurity incidents. The bill also upgrades standards for purchasing IT resources to meet the National Institute of Standard and Technology Cybersecurity Framework and increases the cybersecurity training to state agency technology professionals. Finally, the bill creates the Florida Cybersecurity Advisory Council with the purpose of assisting state agencies in protecting IT resources from cyber attacks. The bill specifies the council membership and the frequency of the council meetings, as well as required council to annually submit recommendations for legislative action. HB 5001, the proposed General Appropriations Act, provides 15 full-time equivalent cybersecurity positions and a $31.6 million from General Revenue Fund to implement the provisions of the bill recommendations as of February 1st, 2001. And that is the bill.
Very good. We have no amendments on this bill. I just noticed that in the audience we have our CIO, Jamie Grant, here. This is a very, yes, do you want to speak? Thank you. This initiative is very important for us, and we're really grateful that you're here. So we have no amendments. We have questions. Or members, are there questions on the bill? Seeing none. Is there public testimony? Also none. Debate? Representative Maggard, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair. I just want to make a comment. I want to thank Rep. Giambardo for explaining or trying to explain this to me. I just know after his intensive broadening of my cybersecurity education, I feel much safer now. So thank you for what you're doing. And I'm just going to trust that you do what you need to do well. And thank you for doing it.
Okay. Thank you. Is anybody else? Oh, Representative Henson, you're recognized.
Thank you so much. I just want to make a comment that with the current state of affairs and the internet and the way people are holding cities and towns hostage with their different operations online, that cybersecurity has taken on a whole new level of importance that we need to protect ourselves, our states, our cities. And I hope this will do the job and prevent that kind of hacking and hijacking of our management systems. Thank the sponsor, and thank you, Ms. Madam Chair, for allowing me to say that.
Thank you, Representative Henson. Anyone else? All right, seeing none. Representative G. Lombardo, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just so everybody knows, this will always continue to be something that we continue to add to and we continue to evolve. I know House and Senate and the CIO's office have all been working, and the governor's office have all been working together on trying to make this the best. So we're going to continue to keep adding and making sure that all the things are in place and working with all the stakeholders in this to make this right a great foundation, and then we will continue to add to it year after year as we need to. So thank you, and that I close.
Representative G. Lombardo, having closed on his bill, Amara, will you please call the roll?
Vice Chair Maggard?
Yes.
Ranking Member Goff Marcel?
Yes.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
DeLombardo?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Munchovsky?
Yes.
Killebrew? Coster?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Stevenson?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
By your members, by your vote, we'll show House Bill 1297 reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative G. Lombardo. And next up, we'll have House Bill 1351, Money Service Businesses, by Representative Lupus. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just say I was deeply surprised that when given the opportunity to take the mic, former Representative Grant didn't take it. Wonderful, good for him, he's learning. He leave? Okay. Members, good afternoon. It's Thursday, almost there. CS for HB 1351 is a bill related to virtual currency. This is a bill I care deeply about. An enormous amount of time has gone into the crafting of this language. Florida has remained utterly silent on the issue of virtual currency over the last 10 years. Bitcoin, the first virtual currency, came into place in January of 2009. And that currency alone has a market cap of almost $1 trillion now. So what this bill seeks to do is to write into the money transmission statute definitions for virtual currency, beginning to create a regulatory structure that will provide consumer protections moving forward. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lupus. We have no amendments on this bill. Members, do you have any questions? Questions? Seeing no questions, is there debate? Representative Toledo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairwoman. Representative Lupus, thank you so much for bringing this great bill forward. Cities like Tampa, Orlando, Miami, and Jacksonville have thousands of young entrepreneurs looking to build a life in Florida. This past week in Tampa, a new company, Delta Core Capital, that specializes in crypto and digital assets management, was recognized by Forbes for their efforts in crypto assets management. Florida needs to welcome this technology with open arms and continue to lead the country in innovation and economic prosperity. So thank you for this bill.
Thank you. Seeing no further debate, Representative Lupus, you're recognized to close.
Wave close, Madam Chair.
Amara, will you please call the roll on House Bill 1351?
Vice Chair Maggard.
Oh, wait a minute, beg your pardon. I have a public comment. I beg
your okay.
Pardon. Greg Oaks from the Office of Financial Regulation, waving in support. Anderson Alexander, Office of Financial Regulation, waving in support. And Commissioner Russell Weigel, also waving in support. Very good. You got the full support of the Office of Financial Regulation. Very good. Mamara, please call the roll on House Bill 1351.
Vice Chair Maggard?
Yes.
Ranking Member Goff Marcel?
Yes.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
DeLombardo? Henson? Hunchowski?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Stevenson?
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we'll show House Bill 1351 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Next, we will have Representative Andrade. You're recognized to present child support obligations, House Bill 1089.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, House Bill 1089, while it discusses child support obligations, is mainly a revamp and update to the Department of Revenue systems, an acknowledgement of new technologies and processes in for the Clerks of Court office, offices across the state. It also updates new hire obligations in recognition of the gig economy and allows for a process called fast levy, mainly digital notifications to parents owing child support to better streamline the process of collecting benefits for children.
Thank you. We have no amendments on this bill. Members, do you have any questions? Questions for Representative Alupis? Seeing none, we don't have any public testimony. We have no public testimony, so we're in debate. Members, anybody want to debate this bill? Seeing none, Representative Alupis, you're recognized to close on. Oh, Representative.
I appreciate the permission.
You're recognized to close, right? Oh, do you?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You're recognized to close on House Bill 1089.
Thank you, Chair. I'll wave close.
Okay. Mara, will you please call the roll on the bill?
Vice Chair Maggard?
Yes.
Ranking Member Goff Marcel?
Yes.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Duggan? Fisher?
Yes.
DiLombardo?
Yes.
Henson?
Yes.
Munchowski?
Yes.
Hillebrew?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Stevenson?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we'll show House Bill 1089 reported favorably, and he's already gone to his next committee. Congratulations, Rep. Andrade. Next, do we have Representative Byrd? Representative Byrd? Well, our next presenter is not yet present. We'll take a brief recess. Just stay close, maybe just a couple minutes. Thanks. I want to call the State Administration and Technology Appropriations Committee back to order. Amara, please call the roll.
Chair Stevenson?
Here.
Vice Chair Maggard?
Here.
Ranking Member Goff Marcel?
Here.
Representatives Barrero? Duggan? Fisher?
Here.
Here.
DiLombardo?
Here.
Henson?
Here.
Munchowski?
Here.
Hillebrew?
Here.
Coster?
Here.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Robinson is excused. Toledo? Woodson?
Here.
A quorum is present, Madam Chair.
Thank you. A quorum being present, you are recognized, Representative Byrd, to explain House Bill 835. I have two different numbers on my sheet. 835 is correct. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members. I appreciate your patience. Apparently, the committees are moving fast this afternoon. It's quiet after lunch. So for your consideration today, I have House Bill 835. The bill has three sections. The first deals with K through 12 employee organizations, and the other two sections deal with the college system and the university system. For the K through 12 section of the bill, it establishes dates for provision of information by a bargaining unit for renewal, grants PERC authorization to confirm validity of information submitted and to seek additional information if the validity is questioned, permits revocation of certification if the employee organization does not submit or intentionally misstates the required information, prohibits a school board from collecting dues on behalf of the union, and before a union can collect dues, the employee must sign an acknowledgement form that explains their rights under Florida law. As it pertains to the colleges and university systems, the applications for certification must include the number of eligible employees in the bargaining unit, the number of employees represented who are and are not dues-paying members. Any renewal application that does not contain this information is incomplete and ineligible. And if dues-paying membership falls below 50% of those eligible, the union must petition PERC for recertification and permits a college or university system institution to challenge an application for renewal if it believes that the information is inaccurate. And if the information is inaccurate, PERC shall revoke the registration and certification of the union. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Yes. Representative Byrd, you have, you're recognized to present the amendment barcode 679517. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment provides $380,937 in total funding for fiscal year 2021-22 and authorizes three positions for PERC to implement the bill, and that is trust fund money that is not general revenue. That is the amendment.
Are there questions on the amendment? Representative Henson, you're recognized.
I'm a newbie, so can you please, thank you, Madam Chair. Can you please describe for me what trust fund you're taking that money from?
You're recognized.
That's the PERC trust fund.
Thank you very much. And so in order to implement a plan that I call ATTACK, you have to take money from a trust fund to implement it. We have to bring more money to this bill in order to implement a bill that we don't need. Is that?
Just make sure you're asking questions here, but we welcome.
That is the question. Is we have to bring more money to this bill. The fiscal impact is 800 and whatever you just said for three positions in order to implement a bill we don't need. Is that correct?
You're recognized, Chair.
I think that's more in line with debate, but in trying to answer the question that I think you're asking, that's what trust fund dollars are for. Those dollars are sitting there waiting to be used to implement the policy that this body feels is necessary.
Thank you. Is there any other questions? Seeing none, is there public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none. No, this is the amendment. We'll get to the bill. This is just, we're just trying to get, okay. We're not going to forget you there. I've got a bunch of paper here for you. Do you have a card on the amendment? Okay. Go ahead. Well, please come. And if it's not here, you can fill it out. If we can't find it, we'll do it in retrospect.
Absolutely. Thank you for the consideration.
Can you identify yourself for us?
My apologies, thank you. My name is Dr. Rich Templin. I am representing the Florida AFL-CIO. I would just ask, maybe after this committee, to pick up the phone and contact a teacher in your district and ask them what they could do with $363,000. I know this is trust fund money. I understand the difference between general revenue and money coming out of a trust fund. But ask your teachers what they could do with $363,000. I guarantee you, you're not gonna hear the answer. We want you to use that money to fund a program that strips us of our basic constitutional rights. They're gonna say, we need books. They're gonna say, we need supplies to protect us and our students from COVID. They're gonna say, we need technology, as so many are still learning virtually. This is an unwise and unfair use of money that did originate with the taxpayers, and we would ask that you vote no. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Templin. Is there debate on the amendment, members? Debate on the amendment? Representative Henson?
Sorry, but I would just like to say, now that I know the amount, that this is a misuse of our funds to bring money and positions to finance a program that we don't need. That is, I will not be voting for this.
Thank you. Seeing no further debate, all in the favor of the amendment say yay.
Yay.
All opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. We are back on the bill as amended. Are there questions on, we are back on the bill as amended. Are there questions on the bill as amended, members? Representative Henson,
it looks like I'm in a solo today.
For a question, please, Ms. Representative Henson.
I'll try to make them questions.
Well, you'll have a chance at debate, too. So.
Okay, thank you. So, sir, Representative Byrd, you feel that teachers cannot decide for themselves how to spend their money?
That sounds like debate, Representative.
That's a question. So do you feel that you have to decide how teachers spend their money through payroll deduction? Is that a question?
Question to the bill, Representative Henson.
Well, the bill says that they can no longer do payroll deduction.
Frame it in that manner, please.
Representative Byrd, the question is, do you feel that you have to decide how teachers spend their money through payroll deduction?
You're recognized.
Thank you. No, not at all. I certainly trust teachers to decide. All we're saying, this is a policy decision, whether or not the taxpayer should be the dues collector for the union. The individual member has every right and ability to pay to the union. This doesn't diminish their ability at all. I would imagine that almost every teacher in the state of Florida probably has a mortgage or a cell phone bill or a Netflix subscription that they pay for. This is not difficult. We live in a digital age, which makes payment very, very simple. The policy question is whether the taxpayer should be funding that.
Follow-up question?
Follow-up question, yes, ma'am. So all of those things you just described, Representative, payroll deduction is allowed.
You're recognized?
No, the bill would prohibit payroll deduction.
Are there further questions, members? Representative Goff Marcel, you're ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Byrd. I'm sure you're aware that this is being called the union busting bill. Why is it targeted towards teachers?
Recognized.
Thank you. So, you know, in my district, like all of you, I have friends and constituents that are police officers, firefighters, school teachers, many of them members of unions, some not. Quite frankly, the complaints I get are not from firefighters and police officers about their unions. It's about teachers. It's from teachers. And the reason why is because there are teachers that are pro-life and pro-choice, pro-gun, anti-gun, pro-tax, anti-tax. And so the teachers, and this is a lot, part of the reason for this bill is in line with the Janus opinion from the United States Supreme Court in 2018, which says that dues paying or dues from to union membership is a form of speech. And so some teachers are concerned that their unions are engaging in political speech on their behalf and using those dues monies that should be going to advocate for workplace issues, and they're engaging in political issues, and that's fine. The union has every constitutional right to engage in those activities, and they do, and this bill doesn't prevent them in any way from doing that. It just says that the taxpayer isn't going to pay for that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions? I see none. We'll go on to public testimony then. And I want to, again, thank you for coming from near and far to testify today. First, we have Stephanie Kunkel, Florida Education Association.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On behalf of the nearly 150,000 union members, we respectfully ask that you vote down this bill. And I'll just keep it brief, Madam Chair, and point out two reasons. First, this bill, as Representative Byrd mentioned, would prohibit the ability of a union member to direct their union dues through payroll deduction. Currently, school district employees can choose from a plethora of payroll deduction options, including vision insurance, life insurance, paying a credit union or a gym membership, paying for football tickets, and yes, union dues. Each of these payroll deductions is a contract between the employee and the company in which they are paying. So we're trying to figure out why is the sponsor singling out and prohibiting only union dues from being paid through payroll deduction. Secondly, this bill will arbitrarily cancel the membership of every union member on August 1st of each year and force individuals who wish to remain in their union to rejoin year after year. There is no compelling reason for this requirement. Currently, when a member wants to join their union, they sign up. When they want to cancel, they do so. This is the same as if I sign up for any other services like what he mentioned. There's simply no reason to require us to re-sign a membership form year after year, and we'd ask you to vote no.
Thank you, Ms. Kunkel. Appreciate you. Yes? I beg your pardon. We have a question from Representative Oberdorfer.
Ma'am, you mentioned you could buy sporting tickets through payroll deduction in your testimony. Could you expand upon that for a minute, please?
You're recognized.
Yes. In certain counties, in certain higher ed and local school districts, you can purchase football tickets. But that is a local decision and an offer for school employees to decide how they wish to pay for their payroll deduction.
Follow up?
So you're saying for the local sports team through your union, you can do that?
You're recognized.
I'm just trying to clarify. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, that's incorrect. You can choose, as a school employee in Martin County, I'm not certain that Martin County has it, but I'll use that as an example. In Martin County, I could choose from several hundred different payroll deduction options. Martin County or many other counties may offer to do football tickets. So, for example, if I'm in Leon County, I may choose to pay for football tickets through payroll deduction to support the Seminoles or to support FGCU or other colleges and universities around the state. There are a plethora of options that employees can choose to direct through payroll deduction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Jorge Chamizo. Jorge, are you present? Okay, we'll go on to the next one. Matthew Latta. United Faculty of Florida, you're recognized.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the opportunity. My name is Matthew Latta. I'm the president of United Faculty of Florida, FSU. Now, let's be clear, this bill is not necessary, and it costs almost $400,000. Nobody's asking for this. It in no way helps our public sector workers, but instead attacks their constitutionally guaranteed freedom to join a union and maintain that membership. Just want to bring up a couple of points. This does not protect against fraud when people fill out union membership forms. That's a claim that's been made in other hearings on similar bills. That's a serious charge, but all we get is hearsay, and I think I heard from, and that kind of evidence would not be admissible in a court of law. It wouldn't even be acceptable as a citation on a high school term paper. Educators are not idiots. They know what it means to sign a legal document, and they don't need the government checking up on them. Another provision of this bill requires that at least 50% of the bargaining unit be dues-paying members. The implication is that workers who do not pay union dues do not support the union, and that, too, is false.
You need to wind up your comments, please, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to say, at FSU, 93% of our bargaining unit voided to join the last time. Many choose to execute their right to work and not pay dues. Doesn't mean they don't support the union. This bill has no positive outcomes. Please vote against this unnecessary piece of legislation, and let's focus on what really impacts Floridians in these challenging times. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Latta. Mary Rivera, you're recognized.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak. My name is Mary Rivera. I am an intensive reading teacher at Fort McCoy School, I teach the middle school grades. I'm also one of 45,000 Republican conservative union members in the state of Florida. I'm concerned about this mandatory cancelization of my membership, a membership that I chose to do around my sixth year of teaching. And I have to question, what problems does this legislation solve? It solves nothing. It's a solution in search of a problem. And I don't understand why they're in an employee organization portfolio, why this legislation does not address the police officers, the fire workers, the pipe fitters, the auto workers, and other unions across the state. It does attack the public education teachers across the state of Florida and only the educators. I ask you to please vote no to House Bill 835. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Rivera, and thank you for your service. Elizabeth Rasmussen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Elizabeth Rasmussen. I'm a high school social studies teacher, and I have been for the past 13 years. I reside in Polk County, which is part of Representative Killebrew's district. For educators, this year has been like none other. And for thousands of Florida educators, we're daily teaching our students during a pandemic. We're faced with many unprecedented challenges, such as teaching students online and in person at the exact same time. I've been doing that since August. We're also providing our own PPE supplies for our classrooms. The recent amendment to HB 835 takes away nearly $400,000 that could be spent on much needed supplies in the classroom, such as PPE, also textbooks we need, and technology. Myself and other educators don't need just one other thing to add to our overwhelming list to have the district have to tell us every year or ask us if we want to be in a union. And payroll deductions aren't an issue. In my county alone, I can deduct over 150 items, including gym memberships. In Hillsborough County next door, they can deduct 450 items. I was raised on staunch conservative principles in a very conservative household. So why is this bill going against every single conservative principle and invoking big government oversight? Thank you very much. Vote no.
Thank you, Ms. Rasmussen. I will have to add, there's been several times that the funds could be used for school supplies, and because it's a trust fund, it would not be eligible for that use. And I just want to make that clarification. Next, we have Yolanda Turner. Yolanda? You're recognized.
Thank you. Greetings. Thank you, Madam Chair. Greetings, committee. My name is Yolanda Turner. I'm a middle school educator with Hillsborough County Public Schools. I'm here today in opposition of House Bill 835. Educators put students first. And as an educator of students with unique needs, I say I am deeply concerned that my freedom to advocate for the needs of those students are at risk being jeopardized. I ask you to consider to vote no on House Bill 835 and to address your comment about what the funds, those nearly $400,000, can be allocated for. I think that can be reallocated to put it toward those needs. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yes, next we have Bruce Sabin and on board Michelle Dillon. Mr. Sabin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Bruce Sabin. I am both a high school teacher and the pastor of a Southern Baptist church in Polk County, and I'm here wearing my FEA Republicans Caucus pin. And Florida is a right to work state, and no teacher thinks they're required to be a member of the Florida Education Association. I wasn't a member for the first 10 years of my teaching career, but like many others, I eventually decided to join because I wanted to work together with other teachers to advocate for public education and educators. HB 835 serves no purpose other than to make it more difficult for teachers to work together to improve our schools and our profession. And the fact that the bill is targeted only at teachers sure seems like just another attack on Florida's teachers. Further, it's a bill that will actually cost taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars per year to do that. We heard earlier that this bill was to stop taxpayers from having to pay to collect union dues. But we heard right before that, that this committee was voting to pay $363,000 per year to not collect union dues. Rep. Latta tried to defend this by claiming his constituents are complaining about the teachers' union and not the police union. That's a joke, not a serious argument. This bill will have taxpayers paying more to attack teachers. That's what this is about, and that's what you're voting on.
Mr. Sabin,
so
you'll have to
vote no on HB 835.
All right, thank you very much. Michelle Dillon, you're recognized. And next on board, we'll have Kate Dowdy.
You're good recognized, afternoon, Mr. Dillon. Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Michelle Dillon, and I'm a resident of St. John's County, home to Chair Stevenson. I started my career as a pre-K teacher and a first grade teacher, and I am now the proud president of the St. John's Education Association. I'm here today to ask you, why are some lawmakers trying to strip me of my freedom to advocate for my students? My colleagues and I are fully capable of deciding how we spend our paychecks. And if we choose to invest in our local associations, we are advocating for our profession and our students. Please vote no on House Bill 835. Please protect the freedoms of me and my colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Dillon. Kate Dowdy, and next we'll have Philip Sutterman. Okay, Kate Dowdy is not here. Mr. Sutterman? Philip Sutterman waves. Philip Sutterman, Americans for Prosperity, waves in support. Sandra Maldonado Ross, you're recognized. On board, we would have Karen Stapleton.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and ranking committee members and other House members. My name is Sandra Maldonado Ross, and I am a conservative Republican from Orange County. However, I teach middle school students with special needs in Seminole County, and I have been teaching for over 22 years. I am asking, please consider voting no on this bill. Our educators keep students at the forefront and the center of everything we do, and that's why we're here today. We'd like to know why lawmakers feel the need to strip me and my fellow coworkers of the freedom to advocate for students at a cost of $363,000 or more. Please vote no on House Bill 835. Don't take away my or my colleagues' freedoms. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Maldonado. I'm sorry. And thank you for your service. Karen Stapleton, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Karen Stapleton, and I'm one of those 45,000 Republican teachers in the state of Florida. I teach culinary arts in Seminole County, and I live in Orange County, so I get around. No teacher in the state of Florida is pressured into joining the union. We are a right-to-work state, and union membership is not required. I joined the teachers' union because I wanted to become a member of an organization that promotes my profession and also supports my community. Please do not take away my freedom to advocate for students and my profession. At a cost of almost $400,000, that as a taxpayer, I have an interest in how it's being spent. Please vote no on House Bill 835. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Kimberly Skelton, next on board we'd have Heather Garcia. Ms. Garcia, if you would like to come, if there's a seat here, you're welcome to come forward as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Kim Skelton, and I'm a 15-year Republican fifth grade ESD inclusion teacher in Escambia County. I'm also a board member of the Escambia County Association, Education Association, and I'm here for my students and fellow educators. HB 835 is discriminatory in nature. It infringes on my rights as a teacher, and in addition to being an American citizen. It should be my choice to continue to be a part of a group for my profession as long as I want to through payroll deduction. It is my way to advocate for my students and my fellow employees, plus get discounts and different, supports in the community, such as home loan discounts and stuff like that for buying houses, for benefits. My students and fellow teachers are the reason why I'm here. I say this again. We are not in favor of this. It is not a way to attract new teachers to our state, which we are desperately in need of. Please vote no on HB 835.
Thank you very much. Heather Garcia, and next we'll have on board Wade Cottle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Heather Garcia. I'm an elementary school media specialist in Leon County. I'm in my 20th year as a teacher, and I'm in my 44th year as a learner. At the heart of every decision an educator makes is the student. This is why I'm here testifying today. I would like to know why Some lawmakers are trying to strip me of my freedom to advocate for students. Please vote no on House Bill 835. Do not take away my colleagues, or my students' freedoms. Thank you.
Thank you. Following Mr. Cottle, we'll have Douglas Dieter. You're recognized, Mr. Cottle.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Wade Cottle. I'm a middle and high school teacher in Jackson County. I am proud to be a 20-year veteran teacher and serve my students and my community. All I ask of you is the ability to express my constitutional freedom to advocate for my students, staff, and fellow faculty members. This bill threatens my rights and freedoms to do so. I respectfully ask you to vote no on House Bill 835. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dieter. You're Mr. Dieter.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Mr. Cottle. Thank you, Mr. Cottle. You're recognized, Mr. Dieter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Douglas Dieters. I'm a physical education teacher in Clay County, also a basketball and football coach. And that idea about football with payroll deduction is a great idea. But I find it interesting that this bill requires nearly $400,000 to increase my paperwork and take away my freedom to advocate for students and for my profession. That's $400,000 that we can use for books, for PPE, and all sorts of things. Please vote no on HB 35. Don't take away our freedoms. I'd like to say one more thing. I just want to say I'm very, very grateful that this state is doing in-person learning, so I want to thank each and every one of you for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dieters. Thank you for your service. Dave Galloway. And then on board, we would have Carmen Ward. Welcome, Mr. Galloway. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you, committee members. My name is Dave Galloway. I'm a sixth grade science teacher in Jackson County, Florida. I'm also a U.S. Army veteran, former U.S. Army paratrooper, 12 years in the Florida National Guard. And I take special umbrage at this bill. I swore an oath to defend my country, to defend my rights, defend everybody's rights here, and my rights and ability to join an organization of my choice, I think is being abridged and indeed threatened. Everybody signs voluntarily. In Jackson County, little bitty Jackson County, we have 177 payroll signs. This is a bit of a no-brainer for us. That already exists, and we're taking this as what it's duly intended to be, which is an attack on our ability to do this, to advocate freely and fiercely for our students and fellow teachers. And we don't appreciate the attempt at silencing the work that we do. And I, along with everybody else, would ask you for a no vote on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Galloway. After Carmen Ward, we have Patrick Strong. Wonderful. Welcome, Carmen.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members. Thank you, representatives, for your service. I am Carmen Ward from Alachua County, Florida. I am a middle school teacher by trade, and I am in my 31st year of education. And I do want to acknowledge that you work hard, and I promise you, teachers work harder. Teachers are working really hard during this pandemic year, and this makes more work for them because you are expiring their union membership, and what that does is denies us our constitutional right to collectively have a voice that advocates for students. And I hope you haven't already made up your mind. I hope you will vote no on 835 today. And this bill weakens our collective voice. It is weakening the power of the people who are dedicated to the students of Florida. And please vote no on 835 today. And do the common sense move, which would be not making an unnecessary bill into law. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Ward. Patrick Strong, thank you. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. I am Patrick Strong. I am a proud union member, a conservative Republican, and reside and work in Okaloosa County. Currently in Okaloosa County School District, we have 445 pay slots. Each of these is controlled by a contractual relationship by the employee and the company. This bill would force a cancellation of only one of these relationships on August 1st of each year. That doesn't take place with any other relationship. Why in a year when we have been the model for America, bringing and serving our students in brick and mortar educational settings, would you target our freedoms this way? I stand opposed to HB 835. Thank you.
Mr. Strong, can I ask you a quick question, please? Each year, do you not revisit your some of your other deductions, like for insurance and those types of things?
Unless you make changes, normally you do not revisit.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony. Kimberly Cook, you're recognized as well. We'll get Risa Hunter on board. Risa, are you here too? Good, very good. You're recognized, Ms. Cook.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee. I'm a retired media specialist. My name is Kim Cook, and I'm from Alachua County. I promised my former colleagues who are working today that I would speak on their behalf. This has been the most challenging year ever to be an educator. Please don't add to educators and ESP's burden by requiring them to fill out more unnecessary paperwork. They chose to join their professional organization. They knew what they were doing, and they know that they can drop their membership at any time. They know this is a right-to-work state. As a media specialist, I bristle at the thought of $400,000 being used in this manner. I understand that the funds are encumbered and can't be used for other things, but I think about the lack of books in my county and how much that would go towards supplying media centers with much needed books for our kids. And that would be a much better use of taxpayer dollars. So please vote no on House Bill 835. Don't take away my former colleagues' freedoms, and don't spend taxpayer money in a fiscally inappropriate manner.
Thank you, Ms. Cook. Risa Hunter, you're recognized.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Risa Hunter. I work in Jackson County. I've been a secretary for the past 25 years. I've also been a union member for the past 25 years. With my deduction for 25 years, it has not been a problem. This bill seems unnecessary, and it's an attack on teachers specifically, as if they have not been attacked enough already. The service that they provide to our country, to our children, it will take years to thank them for it. But getting back to this bill, there's no need for this. It's just an attack. We have many deductions. I work in payroll. I do the payroll. It's very simple. It is not a problem. Please vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hunter. Next, we have Ken Williams. And following Ken Williams, we'll have Ida Eskamani. Mr. Williams waives in opposition. Ida Eskamani, you're recognized. How are you today?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm doing good. I appreciate you asking. I hope you're doing well as well. Members, I'll keep this very brief. The folks who just spoke can speak much more eloquently than I can as folks who are actually directly impacted. But on behalf of Florida Rising, we do oppose this legislation. We stand in solidarity with our teachers and our educational support staff. And myself, as the product of Orange County Public Schools, I can tell you I would not be here today if it were not for my American government teacher, Mr. Norris, of whom I'm still very close friends with. And he often follows me and what we're doing. And I always thank a teacher. And during this time in this pandemic, this is simply not the legislation we should be putting forward. And with that, we ask you to oppose. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Charles Skelton. And following Mr. Skelton, I have Keith Hunter. Welcome, Mr. Skelton. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Charles Skelton. I am a naval veteran. I am a Republican. And more importantly, I am a first-year teacher in Escambia County in the Flight Academy. I urge you to vote no on House Bill 835. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Skelton. Keith Hunter, and then following Keith Hunter, we'll have Scott Mazur. You're recognized.
All right. Madam Chair, thank you. And House Representatives, thank you for allowing us to speak today. My name's Keith Hunter. I'm a fifth grade elementary school teacher from Jackson County. And I'd like to speak in opposition to this bill. I find it interesting that it is being proposed to use $400,000 or nearly $400,000 to restrict our right to have payroll deduction and to have membership in what we like to. Why make it difficult? Me and my wife was talking the other day, and she was saying, man, got a lot to do. And we're looking at the stacks of things we have to do. Why add to it? We put our hearts into those kids. All my energy goes there, okay? It's our future. Let's not make it hard for those who are teaching our kids and preparing them for the future. We have a need for resources to be spent in other areas, like school psychologists, especially in Jackson County. We had a double whammy. We had Hurricane Michael, and we had the pandemic. Please vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter. Next, we have Scott Mazur. And following, I have Scott Mazur. I had you on the amendment as well, I see. I apologize.
Thank you. Madam Chair, appreciate the opportunity to address you and representatives. My name is Scott Mazur. I am a 22-year veteran in public education. I'm an independent voter, have been since 18 years of age when I registered. So when it comes down to something like this, I think about the fiscal impact. There's $400,000 that are being given to this from a trust fund. That's one thing. But in speaking with our payroll department here in Leon County Schools, it takes 5 to 10 minutes for someone to go ahead and enter or remove someone from any payroll slot, anyone. So if you calculate that for the number of people that this will impact, it's probably about $1.5 million of wasted taxpayer dollars of re-enrolling and unenrolling people just through the payroll department. So let's not even talk about the $400,000. Let's talk about fiscal impact of that 1.5 in a budget that now takes resources from the classroom, takes time from the employees that are there. So what I'm asking you to do, and I strongly urge, is to vote no on this bill. Not because you can't go through another area that you're going to be able to go ahead and join, but because there are over 400 different categories in Leon County School, and we're only looking at one, and could have a state impact of $1.5 million. So please, vote no on House Bill 835.
Thank you. And then, Mr. Templin, we have you now to speak on the bill. Welcome, and you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know that so many of the teachers here are talking about losing their rights, and I'm quite certain that a lot of you are like, oh, you're not losing any rights. I want to explain why that is the case. Article 1, Section 6 of the Constitution, Article 1, right up there, free speech, free religion, right there. It has two rights in it. Number one is the right to collectively bargain. The right to collectively bargain is exercised in a vote. Yes, we vote to bring in an entity to collectively bargain for us. That's how that right is expressed. The right to work is expressed in whether or not you pay dues. The right to work is expressed every time a teacher who voted to collectively bargain and have a union makes a decision not to financially support that union. What this bill does with the 50% requirement is they cancel each other out. Because you're telling teachers, yeah, you can collectively bargain, but if you don't join the union and more than 50% of your members don't join the union, the union's gone. So you can't exercise your right to work. You literally are stripping basic Article 1 rights from teachers in a pandemic while they've been heroes. Everybody's calling them here. Do you really want to go back to your district and say, hey, guess what I did?
It's been a minute 22.
Thank you. Guess what I did? I took rights away from teachers. Nobody's asking you to do this. School boards aren't asking you to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is the end of public testimony. Members, we are in debate. Is there a debate on the bill? Representative Hunchofsky.
Thank you very much, Chair Stevenson. And I would just like to thank every single one of the teachers who are here today. I would like to thank every single one of the teachers in the state of Florida and in the United States of America who have not only made a difference during this pandemic, who have tried to keep structure with our kids during this time, but for every teacher that's made a difference in my life, my children's lives, and my family's lives. And I'm not just going to say that today. I don't just say that on Teacher Appreciation Day, but I say it in my vote when I'm going to vote down on this bill today, because that is what you want us to do. And I cannot say I support the teachers and not support your will in this vote. Thank you.
Representative Woodson, did you want to speak in debate also?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to all the teachers for coming out to express your concern about House Bill 835. I further thank you for your service, as we could not have been here legislating, reading, without the impact that you have had on our life. I have received so many emails and calls opposing this bill, not just from my district, but from the entire state of Florida. At a time where our teachers and families are going through so much, trying to find ways to educate our children, or being extra creative to find ways to help them to catch up on what they have lost during this pandemic. We need to make it easier for our teachers and not make matters worse for them. So the least we can do is to hear your plea and support you during this time. So I will vote down on this bill today because I want to support you. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Henson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is a situation near and dear to my heart, as I am a lifelong educator, a former member of a teacher union, and this is my passion. Educators have gone above and beyond at risk to their own health to ensure their students' needs were met this year. It is shameful that in return for their dedication, they are facing divisive attacks from us lawmakers. HB 835 limits their freedom to join with their fellow educators to advocate for their working conditions and for the needs of their students. It's time for legislators to listen to educators and give them the support they need instead of continuing to offer solutions to problems simply don't exist. If this bill were about helping or protecting public workers, it would apply to all public workers. There is simply no positive outcomes to this extra $400,000. It doesn't lower class size. It doesn't make classrooms safer from COVID. It doesn't buy textbooks or technology. It does not improve student achievement. It does not, the $400,000 in PICO funds, do what it was meant to do, build new schools. Grown people don't need our help deciding what to do with their money. This does nothing for the common good of man. My solution, let's just make Representative Byrd's district follow this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Henson, Representative Henson. Is there any further debate? Representative, Ranking Member Goff Marcel, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just, again, like my colleague said, want to thank all of you for being here. I'm a big supporter of teachers. That's one of the main reasons that I'm here right now, is fighting for teachers. And it's just so impressive that you came from all parts of the state. I have Clay, Hillsborough, Jackson, Escambia, Leon, Alachua, Okaloosa, and I'm sure I missed some out there. But thank you so much. I'm a product of a public schools. My parents were. My mom was a school teacher, and my children all go to public schools. I have a child that's still in high school, and I've seen what the teachers have had to go through this year, and I just can't say thank you enough. I also want to say that I didn't need you to come to vote no on this bill, but I really appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further debate, Representative Byrd, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And memories are short, but apparently in this debate, they've been very short, because for those of us who were actually here last year, we appropriated $500 million to give teachers pay raises for recruitment and retention. It was the union that came in and actually wrote the bill, participated in helping us write the bill at the end. So they engaged in their political activity, which is their constitutional right. To say that this body somehow attacks teachers just refuses to acknowledge what happened just last session. Just as we, Governor DeSantis, proposed an additional $50 million in teacher pay raises, something I support, and I imagine that every single member of this committee supports. But let's actually deal with the facts. Moses didn't come down from the mountain and say teachers have a right to have their dues deducted by the taxpayers in the school districts. So for every person that got up and said, my rights are being violated, that is just not an accurate statement of the law. And for anybody who actually wants to read the Janus opinion, because apparently not many people have, I'll be more than happy to provide a copy to everyone. Some of the other deductions that were mentioned, those are not political in nature. A gym membership is not political. Football tickets are not political. And quite frankly, they're not part of this bill. This is about political speech, which is what the Janus opinion is about, the First Amendment rights of employee organizations. But don't take my word for it. Let's look at what Franklin Delano Roosevelt, no conservative, probably the greatest progressive of the 20th century. He wrote this letter, I'm going to read part of a letter that he wrote to a union when he was invited to speak. The desire of government employees for fair and adequate pay, reasonable hours of work, safe and suitable working conditions, development of opportunities for advancement, facilities for fair and impartial consideration or review of grievances, and other objectives of a proper employee relations policy is basically no different from that of employees in private industry. Organization on their part to preserve their views on such matters is both natural and logical, but meticulous attention should be paid to the special relationships and obligations of public servants to the public itself and to the government. Now, what he went on to say is that he opposed public sector unions as a matter of law. Now, that's not where we are. Our state constitution and federal law allows for public sector unions, but it doesn't ignore his point that there must be meticulous attention paid to the employee, the special relationship between the employee organizations and public sector unions and the public trust. And there is no arguing that some portion of the money directly deducted from paychecks serves political purposes. It is not fair, then, that the public assets are used to collect any funds that are spent to further political agendas. As lawmakers, we have obligations to ensure ongoing union dues. Payments are a conscious and considered choice. This bill achieves that purpose, and I ask for your favorable support.
Amara, will you call the roll on House Bill 835?
Chair Stevenson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Maggard.
Yes.
Ranking Member Goff Marcil.
No.
Representatives Barrero.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Fisher.
Yes.
DeLombardo.
Yes.
Henson.
No.
Montesky.
No.
Killebrew.
No.
Custer?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Toledo?
Yes.
Woodson?
No.
Nine yeas, five nays, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, we'll show House Bill 835 reported favorably with an amendment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Byrd. Well, members, seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Fisher moves we rise. And with that, we're adjourned.